China says protectionism is destroying the global trade order. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Suping Chan, in for Anu Anand. Good morning. It was all smiles today at the G20 summit in Japan as world leaders gathered for a traditional family photo. But unity is in short supply, especially on the thorny issue of trade. The US has threatened a new round of tariff hikes on $300 billion worth of Chinese imports. Presidents Trump and Xi will meet on the G20 sidelines to try to find a truce. So, is there appetite for a deal? I asked the BBC's Karishma Vaswani in Osaka.
I think there's every desire on both sides to have some sort of a deal. But the reality is, from the two leaders, what we'll probably get is more of a pause on the current tensions, an agreement to resume talks, and perhaps that threat of $300 billion worth of tariffs being delayed.
So this G20 meeting has very much been set up as a two-man show, but what else is going on?
There's a lot going on. This is the gathering of 19 countries plus the European Union. This is a point in the global economy where the current framework of multilateralism and the global world order of free trade is really being challenged. Ahead of the G20, we heard from the Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, who said that the liberal world order has become obsolete. On the other hand, you've got the champion of free trade now, ironically, being China's president, Xi Jinping, who today said, without specifically mentioning the United States, that developed countries are now using protectionism in a way that is threatening the global trade order. So really interesting times.
Karishma Vaswani. So that's the view from Osaka. But what does a former trade referee think about these ongoing tensions? Pascal Lamy used to lead the World Trade Organization.
I think Mr. Trump is right, and I've said that many times, that today the rules of international trade do not properly discipline a number of Chinese trade practices. And in this, WTO needs reform. We tried to reform WTO for many years, starting with the Doha Round in 2001. And by the way, the one that blocked the latest draft reform of WTO were the US at the time.
You were head of the World Trade Organization during the financial crisis and during the aftermath. Have you ever seen tensions like this?
Certainly not. I think the level of tensions within the WTO, which Mr. Trump has created, is totally unprecedented, not even between since 2008. It's unprecedented since 1947. The notion that, for instance, the US could quit the WTO, which is something Trump has tweeted from time to time, creates a havoc. And the reality, at least seen from European eyes, is that we do not know whether the US are after wrecking the international rules-based system or whether they're after improving it. The reality, I think, is that the rules-based system will prevail because a globalized economy needs global rules, whether with or without the US, is, I think, the big question.
Pascal Lamy. Let's do the numbers. The world's markets are in wait-and-see mode ahead of that meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi. Asian markets fell. Japan's Nikkei was down 0.3%. European stocks moved up. London's FTSE 100 is up 0.2%. Now, it's 50 years since the Stonewall riots in New York marked a turning point in the LGBT rights movement. After living through an era of unprecedented social change, some in the community are facing new challenges as they grow old. I went to find out about one organisation's plans to support the Stonewall generation through their golden years.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Sue. I'm here to see Anna. I've come to the heart of central London to speak to Anna Keir, the head of Tonic Living. Founded in 2014, Tonic is trying to change the way we think about assisted living in a world where LGBT communities are still subject to discrimination.
Particularly when people retire and they no longer have social connections through work, they don't want to have to come out every time they have a conversation with somebody.
Tell me about some of the stories that you've heard yourself.
Well, they kind of range from people wanting to be really positive about their later lives, ranging right through to some real, you know, tragic stories about people having really bad experiences and actually feeling like they have gone back into the closet in order to get the kind of care and support they need.
Many older LGBT people only felt safe in their own homes because the world outside was so hostile. I learnt to lead a double life.
That's Ted Jacobs, who features in a promotional video made by Tonic. He didn't talk publicly about his sexuality for years. Tonic says it wants to build retirement homes where Ted and others can be themselves at all times.
Those early experiences always remain buried in one's subconscious, so that it's important that the people who will care for them understand and empathise when they feel vulnerable.
The idea has already gone global. US group Sage is developing affordable housing for LGBT seniors in New York. And in Pakistan, where transgender people often lose the promise of care in old age, Guru Ashi is setting up what she describes as the country's first third gender retirement home, where trans people are welcome.
Nobody in Pakistan thinks of the third gender community. When a woman becomes a widow, her children take care of her. But when a third gender person gets old, there is nobody to care for them.
Back in London, Anna Keir of Tonic Group says governments and organisations need to think more about creating safe spaces for communities that can otherwise end up feeling invisible.
And I think the government cites now that, you know, being isolated and lonely is as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And what we're proposing is actually a relatively simple solution that could change that.
Anna Keir from Tonic Living. And in London, I'm Suping Chan with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.